to the Pretty Vulgar podcast. I'm Elizabeth.
And I'm Jillian.
And we're so excited that you're back with us for a second episode. We got a lot of positive feedback for the first one. We're still working out all the kinks and everything, but I'm really excited and I'm glad you guys are listening.
And we got one review on iTunes, people. One review.
And it was good.
It was good. So you're in the right place. That's what we want to convey to you.
Yes.
You are with us, and with us, you will only go up.
Exactly. So please subscribe to the Pretty Vulgar podcast, and don't forget to rate us with 5 stars. 5 stars, people. And say something nice about us. That would be awesome.
But also, if you have constructive criticism, we're always open to hearing what you guys want to hear, what we're doing right, what we're doing wrong. So, you know, just let us know. That's the best place to do it.
Exactly. So we're going to jump into it.
Yeah, let's just get into, first, let's start with Real Housewives news.
Yay.
So the major news of the week is NeNe Leakes, the queen, is returning for season 10 of Atlanta.
Which I gotta say, when I first read it, I was hysterically happy because she's in my top 3 housewives of my favorite.
Of all franchises.
Of all franchises, she's in my top 3.
Wow, that's interesting.
I absolutely love her. I know she can get crazy and say some really off-the-wall things, but I love her, I adore her, and I want to hang out with her.
I agree. I agree. I love NeNe. But the disappointing aspect of all of this is that she's not coming back as a full-time housewife.
Yeah, that was really disappointing to hear. I don't understand why. I think she needs to be full-time. I'm not even sure how it'll play out as a part-time housewife, because when previous housewives who leave the show come back, they come back as friends of the housewives.
Right.
So how are they going to do it? Is it going to be similar to that?
I think there was one season of Atlanta, and again, Elizabeth is a little behind, so she's not there yet.
I'm catching up, people.
But there was one season that Portia was on that she wasn't a full-time housewife, and so she didn't, it was essentially the friend of the housewife thing. She didn't get a peach, she didn't have a tagline, but she was there a lot.
But I feel like NeNe will get a peach. She has to hold a peach.
Oh, I'm sure. I have no doubt. I'm sure that's in her contract. I will be standing in the center with a goddamn peach.
Yes, and she will have a fabulous tagline. I mean, she can't not.
Yeah, and then she'll just show up for the group trip, and that's it. That's the only time we'll ever see her. It'll be her and Kim Zolciak, and they'll be yelling, and it'll be crazy. So
I want her to be more involved than just that. I would really like that.
I mean, I would hope so. So, I mean, fingers crossed. We'll see how it all plays out. The only things we know for sure are that NeNe and Kim are on season 10 of Atlanta. And that's really all we need. Like, if it was just a NeNe and Kim show, it'd be fucking interesting.
Oh, for sure. Their relationship has so many weird dynamics. I'm all for it.
Yeah. So, yay for NeNe.
We're so excited by that.
So, the next story that rocks the Housewife universe is that Tamra Judge has reunited with her estranged daughter. Now, we all learned through the Orange County reunion that since Simon and Tamra split, the daughter chose to live with Simon
right. And
was not speaking to Tamra.
Right, and she had not spoken to her in like 2 years.
Yeah, and in fact, Tamra revealing this information on the reunion show made the relationship worse.
Yeah, she said that words were finally exchanged, but they were not good words.
Yeah. So, you know, we saw pictures from Tamara's Instagram this week. She went to her daughter's graduation. There's a family picture with her, the daughter, and Simon. I mean, that's progress if there is progress. I mean, that's just crazy.
And their two other kids are in the picture, and Tamara's oldest son, who was not Simon's son. So I thought that was interesting.
They united.
They did.
They really united. So I'm happy for Tamra. Hopefully it's in a good place. I wonder, you know, what the actual status of their relationship is. So Godspeed. Godspeed to Tamra Judge.
Yeah.
And then the last housewife story of relevance before we get into some general pop culture interests, Kenya Moore is finally married. So for those of you who are Atlanta watchers, Kenya has been accused of hiring people to play her boyfriend on the show.
That is hysterical.
It really is. Like, I mean, you'll get there once you meet Walter.
Okay.
You might see exactly what they're talking about.
I mean, maybe that's the way to go, is to hire a boyfriend. I mean, I am single. Maybe that's what I need to do, is hire someone.
Well, I mean, it got her a storyline. So I think that's something. We know through watching Atlanta that all Kenya wanted was love and babies, love and babies, love and babies. Looks like she's got the love. She's a little old for the natural baby process.
How old is she?
She's 42 or something. She's in the low 40s.
Maybe adoption.
Adoption is definitely an option. I'm sure she probably did freeze her egg. She wanted the baby so bad. I gotta imagine that's the route she went. So it's possible that that's what she's doing.
Well, that's perfect. Freeze those eggs.
So the thing that's surprising is this is an unnamed businessman. He's unnamed. He doesn't want to be in the spotlight right now.
That's and, sketch to me.
Well, it reminds me of Big Papa, yes. Honestly. Uh-huh. And then the other thing is, I don't feel like her breakup from Matt Jordan was that long ago. So it seems a little interesting that she would meet someone new, fall madly in love, and run away and get married in like less than a year.
Yeah, that is pretty quick, unless she's pregnant already.
Ooh, that would be a good storyline. Let's bring that to Atlanta.
You never know. You never know with these ladies.
Speaking of pregnancy, Julia Stiles, some of you are like, who?
Oh, God.
She
so
was
sad.
In, you know, 10 Things I Hate About You, Save the Last Dance. She was very popular in the very early 2000s.
She was.
Some of you might not have been born. Who knows?
Oh, God. Oh, God.
But she is pregnant. She is 36 years old.
It's so bizarre to me. Like, I feel like she's such a non-entity in today's world. So
I think that's why I thought that we should mention it. Yeah. Is because why do we care?
That's true. Why?
Although she, like me, was on an episode of Hollywood Game Night not that long ago.
Was
so,
she?
Like, she must be doing something of relevance.
I mean,
is she in those Bourne Identity movies, I think.
I thought she got killed in one of them.
Maybe she did. I don't know, but up to some point she was in them.
I mean, that's true. Maybe it was just the first one. I don't know. I feel like I saw the first one.
I definitely saw the first one. I don't think I saw another one, though, so I can't speak to that.
I saw the one with Jeremy Renner.
Oh, that's like the third one or something. The first one has Matt Damon.
Right, and now Matt Damon's back.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. We don't know what she's doing.
This
she's
is not the Bourne Identity podcast. This is not the Julia Stiles podcast.
But she's pregnant. So there you go.
So something worth following. Another interesting kind of medical story is Demi Moore is missing her two front teeth. It's all she wants for Christmas, in fact, is her two front teeth.
I mean, hell, I want my two front teeth that they're missing, too.
But, like, she's attributing it to stress. She says her two front teeth fell out because she was stressed the fuck out.
I don't. Does that mean she's grinding her front teeth? Is that what she means? Like, what? How do teeth just fall out from stress? Is that
the only other thing I can think of is that she's having acid erosion from like acid reflux from being stressed out, and so it backsplashes on your teeth rot, and they fall out of your face.
That is disgusting.
It's not good. It's not good. And then she's posting pictures on the internet without her falsies in.
So she has, like, falsies that she can take out and in.
Yeah, it's not even, an implant. It's, like, just, like, false teeth, like dentures.
Oh, dear Jesus. That's
and she's
not
Demi
sexy.
Moore.
Yeah, that's
this
what I'm
saying. This is, like, striptease Demi Moore. G.I. Jane Demi Moore.
I know, and that's what I'm saying. It's not sexy. You bring a man home, you don't want to pop out your dentures.
No. That is just, like, not imagery that I want to see.
And now, like, when I think about, like, seeing her in a movie as a sexy older woman, I'm like, you're missing your two front teeth. What's going on there?
Yeah, that's cuckoo-cachoo. I don't know what to say about that. So we just thought we'd impart that knowledge to you and let you decide what you think is actually going on there.
I mean, I want to avoid stress anyway, but if my teeth start falling out, that's a new low for me.
Oh, 100%. Like, I don't even know how you function without your two front teeth, to be quite honest with you.
You can't bite apples, eat pizza.
I don't like to bite apples anyway.
I know.
But pizza, that's a thing.
I mean, God.
So, hopefully she gets that stress managed, because that's upsetting.
Like, I want to know what kind of stress she's having, because you know, her kids are grown up, they're out of the house, they seem to be doing well. Her husband's remarried, they're in a good place. So what's going on? She needs to let us know. I want to know.
I know. She needs to explain that more, because if she's going to try to be a spokesperson for not having stress or whatever, she should give us some deets. Just drop us a line, Demi. We're here. You can reach us at Pretty Vulgar Direct. Hit us up on Gmail. It's fine.
Yes. Let us know, please.
So, we're going to save the biggest story for last. So, we'll hit a couple other tinier stories. Aisha Tyler, she was on Friends. She took Drew Carey's spot on the, what's that improv show? What's My Line? Or Whose Line Is It Anyway? Yes, mm-hmm. There we go. She's leaving the show The Talk.
Right.
She says she's too busy.
And I say, busy doing what?
That is a great question. Like, I love her. She's funny.
Yeah.
But other than The Talk, I saw her as, like, a guest on Andy Cohen's Then and Now, talking about, like, 2008. But
that's not a thing.
You
that's
leave
not.
Your job? She's, like, crying hysterically about having to leave this job.
She doesn't have to leave it. She's obviously choosing it. I wonder if she has another project, another talk show or something like that.
She said she wants to go into directing, but, like, I don't know. It just seems a little suspicious to me.
That's weird. So, you need to stay on that show.
I would think she would want to. Yeah. But that's me. Maybe, I don't know, maybe she doesn't like Julie Chen. Maybe Sharon Osbourne's a problem. Maybe there's some secret drama that we're not privy to.
Well, I have heard that Julie Chen is, like, a horrific person to work
with. Oh, really?
Yeah, that she is just a bossy bitch, but not in a nice bossy bitch kind of way, but, like, mean and terrible.
Oh, great. So maybe that's something that we'll hear coming out soon, is that has some kind of interpersonal relationship issue. Like, the ladies on The View, that's what's always happening. It's always the relationships that are tearing them apart and getting them thrown off the show. So,
very true.
We'll see what happens with that. Some Bravo notes. Sweet Home Oklahoma is returning for season 2 on July 10th. How do you feel about that? You have Oklahoma blood running through your veins.
I do have Oklahoma blood running through my veins, and I've spent a considerable amount of time in Oklahoma. And I will say that some of the portrayals of the women and the town folk that they have interviewed was very accurate, but that being said, I met a lot more interesting people from Oklahoma than those bitches who are boring as hell and give me no excitement, and I don't even want to watch it.
You didn't like the dog birthday party?
No.
That didn't tickle your fancy?
No, it did not at all. I feel like that's something my 6-year-old daughter would want to do.
I just feel like it's like a waste of Bravo's time. Like, they come up with these great, powerful shows and franchises, like, you know, The Housewives or The Million Dollar Listings even The Southern Charm now has a spinoff show. And like, why do they need this?
I don't know. It's just,
maybe they just taped it, had it in the can, and they need some filler.
Maybe.
Because I can't believe that this would be renewed.
I wasn't expecting it to be renewed, but here we are, and I'm really disappointed by that. And I feel like it's a waste of Bravo airtime.
I agree. So, another show that's coming out on Bravo I saw a commercial for today is one entitled One Night with My Ex.
That shit blows my mind.
It's just you, your ex, one room, one night, figure it out.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. I mean, when people break up, there's usually a litany of reasons. It's not usually just one, and you can't just fix that in one night.
Right.
Do you win money on this show? Because I'll fix anything for money.
I don't think it is, though. I don't think there's money. I think it's all, like, your personal satisfaction. It's your journey. It's what you're doing.
Jesus, no. I don't like that at all.
So, we'll see. I mean, that, I'm sure there'll be some drama in that. I'm sure we'll hear something coming out of that. But right now, I'm like, damn. Like, we've got 90 Day Fiancé or Married at First Sight. Yeah. Now we have, like, these, like, get back together with your ex in one night and get married and live happily ever after shows. Like, this is such an unrealistic portrayal of what relationships should be.
Oh, for sure.
And then we wonder why we have a 50% divorce rate.
Yeah, no, that's so true. And I watch 90 Day Fiancé, and I'm telling you, that show is crazy. The people on there fill my life with so much drama, which I love, obviously, as a viewer, but I certainly wouldn't want to live that life.
100%. 100%. So, that's another gem coming out of Bravo. We'll see how that plays out.
Yeah.
Speaking of TV shows, Orange is the New Black is back. It's back for season 5.
which I'm hoping will be less dark and less depressing and less horrifying than the last season.
Season 4 was awful. I don't even know what kept me watching because I literally could only watch like 3/4 of an episode to an episode at a time.
Right, because they were so intense and so emotional, and they just brought it to a real, real dark place. And it made me sad.
It made everyone sad. So I think, you know, season 5, I've watched one episode, and it promises to be much better. The prison's in a riot. So that's, I guess the whole season takes place over 3 days in the prison riot.
Oh, that should be really interesting.
So it should be interesting. Hopefully it's really good. It's already been renewed for season 6. So if you're an Orange is the New Black fan, or even if you're not, get into it, watch it, skip season 4, get right to season 5. That's my advice.
Yeah.
And then another TV show that's causing controversy is there's a TV show that's being put out on Spanish language television.
Oh, yes.
About Selena's murder.
Right.
And I watched the trailer today, and it's gruesome, and that's what people are saying. They're saying that, you know, there's so much blood, there's so much chaos in this trailer that it's unfair to Selena's, you know, memory. Like, they take, for example, they take the scene they see in the movie where Selena's in the back of the ambulance and she's just died and she drops her ring.
Right, right. The ring that Yolanda gave her.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so they have the same scene in this TV show, but the ring and her hand are just saturated in blood. Blood is everywhere. It's like, you know, like Donald Trump saying, she's bleeding everywhere out of everywhere.
Oh, God.
So, you know, yeah, people are really upset about this.
Well, I understand that. I'm a Selena fan. I mean, I have been since junior high. I love her. The Selena movie, I've seen it, like, literally.
It's my favorite.
Yeah.
It's my favorite.
Like,
beety, beety, bum, bum.
Yes, like, 25 times. It's so good. And I feel like they did it in such a tasteful way. And I also know that the writer is basing this show off interviews with Selena's murderer. So, of course, you can't believe anything this murderer says.
Well, right. I mean, God, like, really, she has, you know, a stake in the game.
Of course. She wants, yeah, to make it about her.
And she wants to seem sympathetic.
Oh,
or
yes.
The reason she did it is this, that, and the other thing. And it's just, it's going to be a disaster. So I have a feeling it'll get pulled before it even goes to air.
I hope so. And especially for Selena's family, I can't even imagine, like, the pain of that. Like, just seeing the promo for it would make my stomach hurt if
yeah.
I was a family. So we're definitely not down for that show.
No, not at all. So, just as a side note, a pop culture side note, I was watching Andy Cohen's Then and Now today.
Uh-huh.
And it was about 2008, and 2008 brought us Octomom.
Oh, Jesus, yes, Octomom.
And he had Octomom on there, and he was talking to her. And she, first of all, claims the epidural didn't work at all.
I don't believe her.
For the million children that marched out of her womb, she felt every second of it.
I thought she had a cesarean. You can't naturally give birth to 8 babies.
That's also true. So, did it not work and she felt them cutting into her and
no.
ripping babies from her womb?
No, they would have stopped it. There's no way. I think she's lying. I think she's
getting that's more a good, attention. That's a good point. Like, they physically couldn't do a C-section if you were feeling it because you would be reacting.
Of course, you'd be squirming. You'd be pulling away. It's your body's natural response is to, like, fight against that pain. So there's no way. And they are, most doctors, I would assume, are very methodical about how they go about, you know, operating on people as they should be.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I think it's bullshit, to be honest with you. I don't believe her. I think she's trying to get some more 15 minutes of fame.
Not to mention, she claims that they go baby A, B, C, D, E, F, and G, which is 7.
Right.
They're like, we got them all. Close her up. The doctor reaches in to make sure everything's okay and grabs onto a hand and screams, there's a baby H.
Oh, my God. First of all, I have to call bullshit on this story as well. Because, so she's saying that she had a cesarean with no epidural. They took out 7 babies. They sewed her stomach back up. The doctor reached in where? Through her vagina? and felt eight.
These are great questions that I don't have the answer to. Andy Cohen didn't dive that deep.
Oh my God. And felt a hand? No, I'm sorry. That's bullshit.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a great question once again. Like, I can't imagine what happened.
No, none of this happened. She is a liar and she's trying to get some more airtime, which is ridiculous. Take care of your children, Octomom.
14. 14. You have 14 of them.
Yeah, and not by doing porn and not by, you know, changing your face to look like Angelina Jolie. Get a real job.
Yeah, no, definitely. Nadia Suleiman, we're talking to you.
Exactly.
So the Cosby trial, we talked about this a little last week. Mm-hmm. They put on a 6-minute defense. 6 minutes. Prosecution went like 5 days. Defense was like, 6 minutes is all we need to prove Bill Cosby is an innocent fucking man.
So what they do, just get up there and say, he did not rape these women. Thank you for coming out. See
Peace.
You later.
Like, Peace.
I mean.
So they send it to the jury. Mm-hmm. They send it at night. They send it all the next day. They send it today. And today the jury's like, we're hopelessly deadlocked. We cannot figure this shit out. We don't know whether he's guilty, he's innocent. We don't know. We don't even know what a Quaalude is because we were born, you know, after 1960. Like, we're confused. And the judge says, screw you guys. We wasted enough time with this.
Yes.
Get your ass back in the jury box.
And get
figure it out.
Yes. Here's my thing. I can't imagine. So the prosecutor gave how many days? 6 days?
5 days, I think, yeah.
5 days of evidence and testimony. And then 6 minutes from the defense. So I don't understand what it is you're vacillating over in your head. Maybe the jury just does not want to make a decision because they don't want it to be on them one way or another. They don't want to let a rapist go free. And they don't want to put
Bill Cosby in jail for the rest of his life.
Yes. Which, yeah. I mean, because he was this, you know, strong man and, you know, helping people, and he had this wholesome TV show. So I get it. People have the nostalgia for him, maybe.
I think that's 100% accurate. I think it must have been impossible to find a jury in this case because everyone has heard of this case,
oh, yeah.
has formed an opinion on this case,
uh-huh.
has heard of Bill Cosby, has formed an opinion on Bill Cosby.
Right.
People like Jell-O. I mean, like...
they like kids who say the darndest things.
Exactly. Like, they have their own Cosby sweater.
Oh, yeah, the Cosby
so,
sweater.
I don't know. I guess we'll have to wait and see if the jury remains hung. Obviously, there'll either be another trial or he'll walk free. And at that point, we'll get to speak to the jurors and kind of find out what was in their mind. What did they see that led them one way or the other? So that'll be interesting to find out.
I look forward to that. That special. That 2020.
Oh, yeah. That absolutely. So the big pop culture story of the week is Bachelor in Paradise. Stopped production. Sexual assaults are rampant.
Let me tell you guys, I am an avid Bachelor fan. And I'm an avid Bachelor in Paradise fan. I've been loyal since the first season of Bachelor and then the first season of Bachelorette. So this news fed my soul this past week. So let me.
I'm really happy that news of sexual assault feeds your soul. Continue.
Not the sexual assault. I do feel bad for Corinne. That is the girl who is claiming sexual assault.
Well, technically, she's not claiming anything.
Well, that's true. She has said that she... So what happened was this woman named Corinne and a man named DeMario were hooking up. They were being flirtatious, kissing. But while this is going on in Mexico, they're consuming copious amounts of alcohol. Corinne is stating that she blacked out, was in the hot tub with DeMario. They were making out, and she doesn't remember anything. So what people from the set of The Bachelor in Paradise are maintaining is that production filmed DeMario and her making out in the hot tub, and then Corinne goes limp. So they're saying she passed out. DeMario lifts her up, places her on the cement next to the hot tub, and performs oral sex on her. She's passed out, so they're saying it's forced. And production knows that she's passed out, but does not intervene. So that's also another layer, is that production and the filmers were just letting this go on.
So I heard I listen to Jenny McCarthy every day, and she's a huge Bachelor, Bachelorette fan, just like you.
Right.
And so they were talking about this extensively, so that's where I got all my details, because I am not a Bachelor fan. So...
Get out.
never seen one episode in my entire life, even though a guy I went to high school was on, like, the last season of The Bachelorette.
How did I not know this? What is his name?
He got kicked off on the first episode.
Oh.
His name is Jacob Patton. What's up, if you're listening, Jacob Patton, Amber Patton.
Oh my god.
Yeah, so.
That's really exciting. I would have, like, been really excited. Been like, I know that guy.
So, what they were saying is that, because that, at first they were very indignant that production was actually filming this without intervening.
Right.
But then, I guess there are also allegations that it was one of the cameras that are stationary, that are set up.
Oh, interesting.
So someone wasn't actually watching it happen. It wasn't until the producer saw it that they reported it.
Well, that would make more sense. And the way Bachelor in Paradise is set up is that they're in an indoor-outdoor type hotel.
Okay.
So the rooms don't have doors. It's all in like a jungly, tree-ish kind of looking thing. Yeah, it's very bizarre. Like, the girls are getting ready, you know, with the wind blowing in their face, and it's obscene, really.
Okay,
like,
all right.
You can't get ready like that, ladies. But I must say, they do manage to pull it off. They look fabulous. But nonetheless, so that would make sense to me. Last season, they showed scenes from stationary cameras that, you know, caught things at 2 o'clock in the morning, or, you know, things like that. So that would make sense.
It makes it just slightly less abhorrent that someone would be standing there.
Yes, exactly. Because if you're watching a sexual assault happen and you do nothing about it, you're a piece of shit and you should be fired and sued and jailed. That's all there is to it.
That's no joke, without a doubt.
So, okay, so we'll take that away. Corinne released a statement saying she's the victim. She doesn't remember what happened. She says that she was told what happened.
Right.
So now she's seeking therapy and getting help. DeMario is saying that none of this happened and that he wants the tapes released so he can prove his innocence.
That seems very unlikely to me.
But let's talk a little bit about DeMario.
Okay, let's talk about DeMario.
He is from this season of The Bachelorette with Rachel.
Oh, the one that's currently airing.
Yes.
Okay.
So the one that's currently airing, he was kicked off last week, or the week before, because there wasn't an episode last Monday, because he had a girlfriend.
This is this guy.
Yes. He had a girlfriend and went on the show anyway. And the girlfriend came to Rachel, the Bachelorette, and said, hey, just so you know, he was in my bed 3 days before he came out here, and he just stopped talking to me. He has keys to my house, but he's no longer speaking to me. When DeMario was brought out by Rachel, you know, she went and got him and was like, who is this? He was like, I don't know who that is.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah, pretended like he didn't know this bitch. And she showed text messages. I'm sure she had pictures on her phone, but she showed it all to Rachel. Needless to say, Rachel, she's extremely intelligent. She's an attorney. She's beautiful, bright, and very strong. She kicked him the fuck out and was like, and she in fact said, you need to get the fuck out. So his character is already a bit cloudy, to say the
smidgen.
Least.
Smidgen.
So when I heard that there was an incident in Bachelor in Paradise, knowing who was there, my first thought was Corinne and DeMario. Because Corinne was the troublemaker on Nick's season.
Mm-hmm.
Such a troublemaker. Girls were hating her and talking such mad shit about her.
Right.
So I knew it was those two. I called it.
That's crazy. So.
But I do want to say I feel sorry for Corinne, because sexual assault is not something you joke about. And
Of course not.
It's terrible. So I do feel sorry for her, and I am sorry that she had to experience that. And if DeMario is innocent, bring on the proof that, you know, shows that, and let's move on, because I'm really pissed that Bachelor in Paradise is not airing now because of that.
Yeah, so hopefully it's at least cleared up, so Corinne either sees what happened, understands what happened.
Yeah.
Or, you know, if he is innocent, if DeMario is innocent, then his name will be cleared. I mean,
exactly.
It's unlikely he's innocent, but...
Yeah, I don't think he is innocent, I will say that.
But do you think he's that stupid? to be like,
well, he's saying
play the tapes. They're going to show me raping this girl. Never mind.
Well, he said he was really drunk. And what they're saying is, if she has diminished capacity, does he have diminished capacity too?
So this is an argument that a lot of people make. Like, my husband, in fact, makes this argument all the time, that two adults who are both fucked up.
Right. Off alcohol.
Neither have capacity.
Right.
So it's technically they're raping each other.
So terrible. Oh,
but this sounds not like that.
Right.
If she is unconscious,
right,
that is a next level. That is a sexual assault. There is no question about that at all.
I mean, if she's going limp in a hot tub, you have to lift her out. She doesn't drown.
Exactly.
And then I don't understand. They said that he tried to rape her, but he could not because he had so much to drink. So, ladies, we all know what that means for men.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm. So, yeah. I don't know.
I mean, I guess we'll see. This is an ongoing thing. It's very dramatic. It's very sad. So
we will keep you updated for sure.
100%. So now it's time to move into the housewives. We'll start again in chronological order just because I'm a type A. It's what I do.
We like organization.
So we're going to go to Potomac in an episode entitled Welcome to the Bermuda Triangle.
I wish this episode would have fallen into the Bermuda Triangle and gotten
lost.
Look
at you. You're like, a movie critic writing one-liners. You're going to be like headlines in the newspaper. I agree, though. This season has just got to end. Like, they just pulled a plug. I'd rather watch a rerun of Sweet Home Oklahoma at this point.
Oh, for sure. Like, I was watching it. Nothing was happening. The girls get to Bermuda. Nothing's exciting happening except, they had the gift baskets waiting in the room and it didn't have both of the names.
Right. So the episode starts at Giselle's house.
Right.
Her mom has come in to watch the kids. Mm-hmm. And basically the only thing of consequence that happens there is Giselle gets permission from her mother to break up with her boyfriend.
That's true. And I did write down, I was like, what is the whole first scene with Giselle about? It was just pointless.
Yeah.
And why does she want her mother's permission to break up with a man that she doesn't have that lifelong commitment connection with?
Apparently it was a childhood friend, and he has a close connection to her mother.
Oh,
so she wanted her mom's permission to get out of the relationship. Got it. So she's good to go.
Ugh.
Then you go to Robin's house. She's making breakfast for her kids. Blah, blah, blah. Hideously boring.
It was super boring, but I will say that I love the interaction between Robin's sons. How they're like, I want what he's having. I want what he's having. And it's the exact same thing. I feel like that's my life. I totally got it. And it hit home with me. And I was like, yeah, that's what kids are like. It's completely like that. So I thought that was really cute. But besides that, boring as fuck.
So then you go to Karen's house. And Karen's packing. And they're getting ready to leave to Bermuda, and she's like, I can't believe that I'm going to leave the 20854, because it's like fucking 90210, and we all know what the fuck you're talking about.
When she said that, that was my first thought, was like, this is not 90210, lady. You calm your shit.
And then she's still talking on the way to the airport with her husband. It's dark outside, so it's clearly like 4 o'clock in the morning.
Super early.
She's talking to her husband about, well, Charisse thinks she's hosting, but she's not hosting, because I asked her to assist me.
Why are we still talking about this? Why is this a storyline? This is like, I don't understand why this is of interest to anyone. Please, someone, send me a message and tell me why it's interesting to you to see these women fight about who's actually hosting a trip.
My note literally says, oh dear God, are we still talking about this?
Right? Like, why? Also, is Karen going to be on Potomac anymore if there, God forbid, is a third season?
I literally think she's the only one that lives in Potomac. So I think all of them live. It should be. This is realistically more what the Real Housewives of Washington, D.C. should have been. Because that's the area they're in. That's the metropolis there.
I understand.
So,
well, it's like with several franchises. Like if you take Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Sure.
Erica lives in Pasadena. Mm-hmm. Yolanda lived in Malibu.
So does Eileen.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. It's like none of these bitches, except for like Kyle, actually lived in Beverly Hills proper.
Right. No, you're right. So then you start seeing them come to the airport. You see Charisse get to the airport. She's only got 50s. So she tips the guy holding her luggage $50.
That's not a bad place to be in.
For the guy.
Well, yeah, no, for the guy.
Like, that's obscene.
Yeah,
who does that?
Well,
I've only got 50s. Here you go. It's your lucky day, kid.
I feel like she's showing off or something. That's just...
That's absolutely what she's doing. It's absurd.
And I don't think that's necessary. I just naturally assume if you're on a Real Housewives show, you have some type of money.
You would assume so, although I guess there is exceptions and there's people who have certainly lost their asses while on a Housewives franchise.
Oh, for sure.
You even, in Potomac, you even have Robin who lives in like a 2-bedroom condo.
Well, that's true. She's not like she has this mansion.
Right. So, I mean, I think there are exceptions, but Charisse is like laying it on thick. I don't know if she wants a spinoff. I don't know what she's doing.
Oh, I'm sure. She would love that.
So they get to Bermuda and they're staying at the Fairmont, which I think is an interesting point to make. Because most other franchises stay in houses.
Yeah, and also this hotel, I was not impressed by the rooms at all. I thought they were super...
They're super generic.
Yeah, and super tiny. And when you watch Housewives, they're always going to these grand, amazing places. Like grand houses. Or when Beverly Hills went to...
Dubai.
Yeah, Dubai. Mm-hmm. That hotel was amazing. They had a fucking... You know, aquarium wall in one of the rooms.
So right.
When I saw it, I was like, what the hell
is
this?
No, it looks like your typical Marriott, Hilton.
Yeah.
Just basic room. So I thought that was a little interesting. I also think that it's interesting that Charisse, for not hosting, got herself the biggest fucking suite the hotel has.
Oh, that's right. It's the 2-story one, right?
Mm-hmm. She was like, this is my anniversary birthday gift. By the way, she's like separated from her husband. They're getting a divorce, so I don't know why she's celebrating her anniversary and buying herself anniversary presents.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's like a bitter thing or like, I don't need you anymore thing, but...
Doesn't she get her money from him?
100%.
She
doesn't work.
Needs him. Yeah,
so,
she needs him.
And she even said so, at some point during the episode, oh, he's not going to cut me off. Like...
Oh, yeah, she did.
That's her attitude. So, okay, buy yourself anniversary gifts. That's weird. I thought that was bizarre, to be honest.
It is super bizarre. And I'd also like to touch... on Ashley's jumpsuit from when they arrived in Bermuda. It was like that gray jumpsuit. It was terrible. Like, I was like, what are you wearing?
And I actually have notes about what they're wearing to the dinner that night.
Yeah,
that was also terrible. But yes, I agree. What Ashley was wearing, awful. I did want to note, because you mentioned it last week, Monique's husband does have a very strange voice.
Right? When you hear their FaceTime, you're like, he sounds like the Jolly Giant or something.
Yeah, it's like muffled. It's like a Kermit the Frog, but like not quite that. It's very strange. It's a very strange voice. I totally get it now. I wanted to give you that validation.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
So.
And I feel like if he were to yell, he would sound like that apocalyptic, crazy psycho man.
Maybe. I mean, like, maybe we'll get to see that.
Let's only hope, because something's got to bring this show around.
So they get there, they get gift baskets. Everyone has a gift basket in their room, including Charisse, and it's all just from Karen Huger. And this is a big deal because Charisse and Karen are hosting, and why is this just from Karen Huger? And blah, 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 blah. Psh, psh. That was my brains being shot against the wall because I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, it was really terrible. It was so boring. I was literally on my phone, like, texting and Facebooking and just being like, what is this? Like, we've talked about this enough. Let's move on. Like, you knew what was happening.
100%. So, they get there. They go to dinner that night. This is the big dinner that Karen Huger's hosting. Giselle is wearing pink shorts with some gladiator sandals and a lace top.
I hated that so much. Like, what was she doing? You're going to dinner.
Not to mention, Monique was wearing, like, the sundress that looks like a bathing suit cover-up that I owned in 2005. So I was like, this is what you wore to, like, go out in public?
Yeah, for sure. That's not okay.
So, like, just their fashion alone was completely heinous.
Yeah, I was not feeling it, that's for sure.
And then, so, basically, the big thing at dinner is they ask Karen about her house. She says she got it. She's closed. She's leaving. They keep asking her where she's going. And she just beats around the bush. She won't not tell these bitches where she's going.
Why? I wrote down, why is Karen being so invasive? Like, why don't you just say, I'm moving to Virginia Falls or whatever the fuck that name is?
Yeah, I have no idea. But like, she just does not want to give up the Potomac crown, which I think we see a little bit in the preview for next week. Is that also is a continuing storyline because this is shit we care about. Clearly. Clearly, can't you tell by my voice how much I give a shit about this?
I know. I mean, I just don't understand how successful this franchise is going to be if it's just going to be like this.
Well, it's crazy. So then they go up after this dinner where that's all that happens.
Yeah.
They go to Charisse's suite for drinks. Karen invites Giselle and Monique to go with her on the America Cup boat the next day. Doesn't want any of the other girls to go.
Which I thought was so rude and just, I feel like if you're doing a group trip.
And you're the host.
And you're the host, exactly. You pick events or things to do that everyone can do. If they don't all want to go, that's fine. You don't all have to go, but don't make it so, you know, oh no.
And two. Well, and then as the master manipulator, she just wants to put these two people together and see either fireworks or if that she can heal all wounds
right.
and be the, you know, the person. So you also find out that Charisse brought a hair person and Karen brought a makeup person or vice versa. And so they're going to use each other's people. And none of these other girls brought anyone because they're not a real franchise. Because everyone knows Dorit's got a makeup person. Erica's got a glam squad. Like, this is how these girls travel.
Exactly. That's what makes them so amazing.
So the next day they go to the beach. And I'm just blowing through this because this just does not warrant that much discussion. So,
yeah.
They say that Karen plans a sneak attack. Giselle and Monique finally find out that they're the only two going to this separate event, and they're forced to spend time together, and they hate each other.
Just talking about it again is making me want to go to sleep.
No, I totally could not agree with you more.
Like, why is this a franchise? Why?
And then they get on this bus, and they're talking, and they're just like, we're just misreading each other. We're just misreading each other.
Whatever, fine, misread each other.
Like, I don't even know what to say about that, but that's just what they're claiming the root of their problem is. So, the other three people, Charisse and Robin and Ashley, kind of get kicked to the curb in this trip.
Right.
And they go jet skiing, and they're pissed off that they were not invited to this America's Cup boat thingy. But they end up having what looks to me to be a better time.
Right, because who wants to go to the American Boat Cup, whatever the shit is?
Right. I mean, it kind of looked fun, like the thing they did about, like, riding it and then switching. It looked, like, exhilarating.
Right.
But ultimately, you did that for, like, what, a minute or two?
Right.
And, like, this was, like, a whole day. Like, jet skiing is so fun. I love jet skiing anyway. But those girls clearly had a better time.
Fun fact about me, I've never been jet skiing before.
What?
Yeah, never.
No. Summer goal, we're getting you jet skiing. Done and done.
Yeah, I guess I've never had the opportunity or maybe even the desire, really.
It's really fun. Like, I definitely think it's worth doing. So, basically, the two groups just talk and they do their own thing. And then they go get ready. And getting ready is where the only fireworks of the episode actually even occur.
Right.
And they're just kind of really setting us up for other fireworks. So I hope those fireworks actually come. But Robin is getting ready with Charisse, and they're talking about how disrespectful Karen is for not inviting them all out together and yada, yada, yada. Karen's getting ready in her own room. Robin's like, I've had enough of this shit. I'm draining my champagne. I'm going to go confront Karen.
I mean, if you're going to confront someone, you should be drinking champagne while you do it.
I mean, that's our motto. So
exactly. If we come for you, we have a bottle of champagne in our hand, or maybe vodka. You'll never know.
So Robin goes into Karen. It's basically like, you did this. You fucked up. Mm-hmm. You've hurt our feelings. Karen's very dismissive, but it's like, okay, sweetie, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
She's not sorry.
She's absolutely not sorry. But Robin leaves the room. The production team leaves the room, but Karen is still mic'd. Karen then goes off. This was Charisse. She sent her hitman. She's screwing the fireman. Like, she just goes off on a tirade about how this is all Charisse. This wasn't Robin, blah, blah, blah.
Ugh, whatever.
So we'll see if that turns into anything. The preview shows, you know, what they talk about Karen's intentions. They go on a boat. They talk about their own net worths. And basically, it's just Karen acting a fool. So we'll see if that goes anywhere.
Oh, God. It's not going to go anywhere. It's going to bore me again next week. Nothing against the women, but maybe just it's not the right mix of women. I don't know, but they need to let this go. Let it go.
100%. So let's get into stuff that actually matters.
Real Housewives of New York.
A Countess No More is this episode.
I love that. I mean, she still acts like a snobby countess.
Well, that's her personality.
Well, that's true.
But she's given up the title.
The only thing she'll give up for the countess is for wife, the title wife.
That's so stupid. Yeah, so they start out, we start out at Sonia's house with the Frenchie, who's making her eggs a la Francaise.
What does that mean? They're scrambled?
I don't know, but that's what Luann's always talking about, so it's funny. Like, literally, yeah. Even before they said it in the episode, as soon as it was the French guy and he was making eggs, I was like, eggs a la Francais, of course.
I know, and when he's making them, I'm like, those are fucking scrambled eggs, dude. I can make those. There's nothing French about me, and I can make those.
So you find out in this first scene, A, that Frenchie knows about Rocco.
Yeah.
That he knows that Sonya's got another guy.
Yeah.
And that Tinsley was supposed to be set up with Frenchie.
Which I find to be hysterical because I don't know what Tinsley's going to do with Frenchie. I mean, she's got that 23-year-old child that she's with. But what I found interesting was that, you know, Frenchie was supposed to be like the fast fuck. He wasn't supposed to be, you know, this making you breakfast in the morning kind of guy.
Yeah. And now he lives with her.
Yeah, which is shocking and scary. You don't know this man
very well.
He's
making changes to PJ Morgan's house.
And why?
Sorry, not PJ Morgan. JP Morgan, of course, does. Sorry. But he's making changes to the house. He's moved in. He's getting closet space. Tinsley's like, I can't even stay out past 10. But, like,
yeah,
he's moving in and owning the house. So
I don't understand that at all. Why would Sonya be like, this is a good idea?
It's obscene. She's questioning it the whole episode. She's like, this is very fast. What did I do? How did I get here? What happened? How did I do this?
And I feel like up until now, Sonya has been the voice of reason in a lot of situations.
Yeah, this season for sure.
So now that she's doing something so crazy and off the wall, I'm like, what the fuck? What are you doing?
Yeah, I don't, like, we'll see how that plays out because, you know, the preview for next week shows Rocco and how he's going to deal with it.
I want Sonya to marry Rocco.
I think that's so appropriate.
Just marry him. He's so into her. He has money. You could get out of that dilapidated gray gardens of a townhouse and live your life the rest of your life. And
I agree, you know? 100%. So, like, because this guy's, like, 39. Is he going to want kids? Is he going to, like...
39, yeah, I mean, he does not seem to. I mean, he said he's not sleeping around. It's being open-minded. No, that's not being open-minded. That's sleeping around. If you're having multiple sexual partners, that's sleeping around, not being open-minded.
Yes, I agree. So, a couple more Sonya points. When she does an interview scene, her bra is out. It's just one skin-colored bra. It's just, like, out. And I'm like, why didn't no one tell her to fix this? Like, maybe it really bothers me every time I see it.
Maybe it's intentional. Maybe she...
It's so weird. It's like a busted-ass Grey Gardens look.
Grey Gardens, that's the theme for Sonya.
Yes.
I don't know if I've ever noticed that, but maybe it's intentional. People...
Next time you see it. It's not... Because it's only one side. It's not both sides, so I can't... Like, that's why I don't think it's intentional. And it's nude-colored. It's clearly a strapless bra.
Oh.
Her dress is too tight, and it's just coming over the top. Yeah.
Right, right.
It's so bizarre. I'm like, just tell her to fix it.
I like that.
But... Another Sonya point, while we're on Sonya, since this episode wasn't very linear, it's kind of hard to
keep
track. So, another Sonya point is, while she's packing for her Christmas vacation, again she's on Tinsley about Connor. She's not even going to be in the fucking country, and she's like, you can't use my assistant Connor. You're monopolizing Connor's time. What is going on?
Yeah, you can't hang out with him, because they're going to have that party when mom's away. They're going to play.
Yeah, but, like, it's Sonya is so... butthurt about this.
Yeah,
she just can't deal.
I don't understand why, though. She's crazy. Let it go.
Let it go. So, the next kind of area you get into is Bethany's having a Christmas party. It's not a Berkshire's cozy party. It's a New York socialite party, which, by the way, I did not think this was. Like, I did not get that from this party.
No, I thought it was, like, an intimate, like, small dinner party.
It was in her house, for God's sake.
Yeah.
There was, like, 10 people there.
Yeah, so that's why I felt like it was, like, dinner party type. And did they even have real food? Because it was a lot of caviar, I feel like.
Yeah, I don't know that they did. Maybe that's how fancy New Yorkers eat their food. I don't know. My dad's from the Bronx. They eat, like, pizza and sausage and shit.
I was
going
to say, well, I'm going to need, like, a hamburger to make it through the night. Especially with those ladies.
Well, and especially with the skinny girl Ice Luge.
Oh, yeah, that shit was funny, though, when Carol was all into
she was just kept doing it. She just, like, was cycling back. I also, like, on the way to the party, that Dorinda's in the car, and she's like, I keep these wrappings under my seat cushions, because she's a fucking hoarder.
She really is. I was like, what? You don't even have time. You take a nap every goddamn day at 4
That's
o'clock.
True.
But you don't have time to stick a gift in a bag? I mean, God.
It's fucking funny as hell. I was like, all right, okay, Dorinda, you do you, girl. So, the thing about the party, though, is Bethany just kept saying, we're having fun, we're having so much fun, it's fun, we're doing fun, this is fun, this is what we do to have fun. I did not get that from the party.
It seems so mellow and just so low-key, just kind of some girlfriends hanging out. It didn't seem like they were laughing hysterically, you know, reminiscing about past girls' trips. So I felt like it was super low-key, just very downplayed.
Yeah, it seemed like, okay, you were entertained. Yeah, you could be like, oh, I had a good time at that party.
Right.
But, like, who is she trying to convince?
Maybe she's trying to convince a lot of people.
Maybe she's trying to convince herself.
Probably. I will say that I loved the cookie, like, shot glasses that they had.
Oh, yes.
I was like, instantly made me just want a chocolate chip cookie.
I also love the ornaments.
The ornaments were so cute.
So, for those of you who may not have watched it yet or whatever, there's these ornaments and they have, like, a sketch drawing of each of the housewives on a personalized ornament. So cute.
It was really cute.
There was not a Ramona one. There was no time for that shit.
She did have one for Luann, but she wasn't coming.
Yes. So the other things that were notable about the party, I think, were that you have flashbacks to a party Ramona had the night before.
Right.
Where, first of all, Tinsley spills the beans to Ramona that she has not been invited to Bethany's party. She's like, are you going to Bethany's house? And Ramona's like, what are you talking about? Because she hasn't been invited.
Right.
And then you also see, again, Ramona just being completely dismissive of Dorinda's feelings regarding the destruction of her home.
Well, seriously. And, I mean, I was proud of Dorinda for actually going to her and saying something. But I feel like if you're that offended and that mad to where you're going around talking shit to everyone about the situation, confront her with more passion. Confront her with more, you know, intent. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. So while they're at this party, Ramona's on this dinner date with Avery and her 21-year-old girlfriends.
Yeah, that was so bizarre to me. Here's the thing. I love my mom and I hang out with her all the time. I don't know if at 21, like, I don't think I was ever drinking with her at 21.
I think this is totally inappropriate.
Yeah.
Like, I think Ramona's 60, her daughter's 21, and all her friends are 21. She's treating them like girlfriends. It's like you said, yes. I had the same relationship with my mom where I spent time with her all the time.
Yeah.
As I got older, like, this would not be an issue. But 21 is like, you're still so young.
Yeah, 21 is super young. Like, and seeing them drinking, they look so young. It was almost like this knee-jerk reaction being like, oh, they're too young to drink.
That's what I thought.
Even though they are 21 and they can drink. And the way they were talking about alcohol as if they're these
experienced women of the world.
Yeah, it was just too much for me. I was like, this is very weird. And like you said, she's talking to these 21-year-old girls about very adult situations that a 21-year-old will have no experience with.
Absolutely. So she's like making them her confidants. And I just felt like it was inappropriate. Like,
it was
not
awkward.
Not like I'm gonna report you to child services. That's weird and wrong, but it was just like, they're not your confidants.
Yeah.
And first of all, you're telling them stuff like about your friends and they're telling you you're right because they're 21 years old and they're not gonna say shit to you.
And you let them use your Hamptons house, so.
Well, exactly. So, like, please get some real friends, Ramona.
Amen.
Please.
I agree.
So then we get to the Luann and it's her big day.
I'm so glad that they did not, like,
show it
so much of the wedding. Because I was not interested in seeing, like, the whole goddamn wedding. And they just gave her, like, personal footage airtime.
Right.
Oh, my God. That would have been so just boring.
I thought that it was interesting that some of her friends and family didn't sign releases. Like, her wedding party. If you look at her wedding party, all their faces are blurred.
Yeah, that's very strange. I don't get that either. Maybe they're like, we don't want any connection to this train
wreck.
Well,
like, Tom is such a dick. They show him taking pictures, and he's like, I want wine and to sit down.
Yeah.
Like, it's your wedding day. Can you have a little enthusiasm?
No, because he just married her for the money.
Well, and while Luann is like, they show that, and then they show Luann, he's a gift from my dead father who parted the skies and dropped him to me.
When she said that, I was like, my God, you are taking this to the next level.
I was like, no one believes that.
Yeah.
Stop it. Like, you don't even believe that.
Exactly.
So, she did look beautiful, I have to say. Like, Luann is not, like, gorgeous to me. She looks very mannish, but she did look beautiful.
She did. The whole wedding seemed very well put together.
100%.
I mean, she spent a pretty penny on it, no doubt, but it's just, it's a farce.
And you see some notable faces in the crowd. I saw Kelly Ben-Simone, and I saw Jill Zarin.
Right.
So, clear Luann is still friends with her old castmates. She just can't hack it with the new or the current ones.
Yeah, because they've all slept with Tom or they're telling her that Tom is cheating.
But don't you think Jill Zarin's talking shit about Tom behind his back?
Like,
she's the queen of shade. Like,
she is. She just needs to have a confessional and then we'll see the true side of
exactly,
all that.
Exactly. So they jump back. It's after winter break. Everyone's had their vacations. Carol and Bethany are going to dim sum in Chinatown.
Mm-hmm.
And they talk about this post-wedding celebration that they're going to be attending that Luann and Tom are having for the people who were not invited to the wedding.
I didn't know that was a thing.
It was, like, funny when Bethany was talking about it and she was like, is this the last, you know, celebration for this wedding I wasn't invited to that I have to go to? I mean, I did call her a whore a year ago, so it makes sense, but...
No, it was really funny, but I just don't understand. You have a pre-wedding party, a post-wedding party, the wedding party. Let's calm it down.
Well, and I like that Carol's whole thing is Tom gay?
I know, when she was talking about that, I was like...
She was, like, laying it out.
Yeah, I was like, oh, so you're saying that people think he's gay. She made
the case. She was like, failed engagements, like, all the shit. Like, I was like, Carol, okay, you are a journalist.
She came out with some interesting news for us.
And then you find out also that Adam has moved out. He's got his own apartment. Like, where do they go from there?
That's what I wrote down, and that's what I was thinking. I don't understand why you're with someone where you don't see a future with them, because she said on more than one occasion, oh, we're not in this for the long haul. He wants children. I don't. I thought the ultimate goal in a relationship was to settle down with someone, whether that be marriage or just living with someone, and whether that be kids or not have kids. But I just don't understand why they're still together. It's very bizarre to me.
It absolutely is. Like, so I don't know where that's going. I feel like I like them together.
I like them to be together.
But if they can't even live together, what hope is there? Adam is young enough where... Even his parents or his sister or someone said he wanted kids. So, like, where do they go? I just honestly want to know where do they go from here.
Well, she's setting herself up for a huge heartbreak.
Because he's going to leave her at some point.
Right. Exactly. So it makes no sense to me. And I worry for her.
I totally agree. Then, you know, after that, you also see that Ramona had tea at Dorinda's.
Right.
And... Dorinda's recounting all the stories of the wedding, and Dorinda forgot to book her ticket. Dorinda forgot the wedding was happening, so she didn't go to makeup or hair, and she went drunk. She forgot her dress.
She was a hot mess of a bridesmaid, for sure.
I was like, holy shit, girl, like, you were supposed to be the dependable one.
she gave zero fucks. She really did.
She really did, so... Ramona looked at the pictures and says what a beautiful bride Luann was and all of the stuff. And so it was very nice, but I just found it hysterical that Dorinda was possibly the shittiest bridesmaid of all time.
Yeah, for sure. I would have been pissed if I was the bride. Like, you want to depend on the people who are, you know, helping you.
100%. That's what they're there for. They're your bridesmaids. Like,
yeah, for
not
sure.
That you make them slaves and go all bridezilla, but they're to be there for you during your day.
Exactly.
That's their whole point in life.
Exactly.
So then they go to this celebration, the you're not invited, fuck you, we actually went through with it party is what I like to call it.
Well, honestly.
You know, Dorinda's done with celebrating, Bethany's done with celebrating, everyone's done with celebrating. Bethany gets to this place, not a fucking person is there. Not one human being is at this little shithole venue that they're having. It's just an empty room.
Yeah.
With one table.
Yeah, it was so fucking weird and... When she walked in and it was empty and she said she was 15 minutes late, I was like, what the hell? Like,
yeah, that's no, so that was weird. Crazy. So Tinsley shows up. She's got her 23-year-old date on her arm. I think this is the same guy that was in an earlier episode.
It is the one that she was, like, talking about feeding her food like a baby
bird.
Yes,
like a baby bird, I remember.
Vomit.
Ramona shows up with Jim, whoever Jim is. He's got a weird face, by the way, Jim.
He does. And she said that she just met him last night, right?
They were joking, though, because she said, she's like, we're dating and I don't kiss and tell. That's what she said.
She's so obnoxious. She's obviously giving it up to him.
Please. Like, that goes without a doubt. So, and then Sonia brings Frenchie and drops the bomb that they're living together, and everyone's shocked and horrified by that because obviously it's shocking and horrifying.
As they should be.
Tom already doesn't want to wear his wedding ring.
Yeah, I saw that. I was like, come on, dude. You get caught fucking around how many times and you don't want any proof of that you're married.
Right. And honestly, at this point, like, would that even stop him, though? Like,
no, it wouldn't.
So
of course not.
he's raving about Luann being a great cook. She's the best cook. And Carol's like, I bet he's never even seen her cook. She orders that shit out.
I'm sure. I cannot see her cooking. She's always had her food catered. Always. That's how Carol met Adam.
That's true. That's a good point. Tom and Luann have this very awkward chemistry through the night. They don't even look like they're in love. And then he choke kisses her.
Yes. Okay. I wrote this down. I was like, what in the fuck? He grabs her by the neck and kisses her in front of Sonia and Frenchie, which is super awkward because he's obviously been...
But he, like, wants to kill her. That's not, like, a loving choke. Like, he grabbed her full on by the neck in between her forefinger, or her, his index finger and his thumb. Like, just, like, yep. crush her neck.
It was terrible.
It was so uncomfortable, and that's kind of where it ends. Dorinda gives another speech. It's slightly more legible than her last speech.
Yeah, it's still a hot mess.
So in the preview, we see the Frenchie versus Rocco dynamic playing out. We see Bethany get into real estate, and we see Tom and a lady he hooked up with, because that's the only thing we talk about anymore, is just those things.
That's so true. But all in all, it was a good episode.
Much better than Potomac. For God's sakes, take Potomac off the air.
Yes, please. Andy, can you call us? We will answer, I promise.
So thanks for joining us.
Yes, as always, you can find us on Instagram at the Pretty Vulgar Podcast. You can find us on Facebook, which is the Pretty Vulgar Podcast. And you can find us on Twitter, which is the Pretty Vulgar Podcast GE. We're going to change that eventually. But thank you so much for all your support and listening. And don't forget to follow us, like, and subscribe. Thanks, guys.
And we'll be off next week, but we'll be back in 2 weeks with 2 weeks worth of content. So
yay!
Yay! Thanks, guys.
Bye.